share and tell me your memory. Why does it matter to you? I want to hear your story, your point of view. Tell me what happened to you.
Hi, welcome back to Tell Me What Happened, the podcast that features folks from all walks of life telling us one true childhood story and how that event, that experience, has impacted who they are today. I'm your host, Jay Rehack, and like every listener out there, I've had my share of childhood traumas, dramas, and happy stories. And I'd like to think that everything that's ever happened to me has made me a better person. And everybody, I always tell people, I know that's not necessarily true. Some of the things that have happened to me have probably worsened me as a person, but that's the way I like to think. All right. Today I have as my guest, Gabby Iori. Gabby is a born and bred North Carolinian, currently living in Baltimore with her partner and two cats. She's a publicist at Quirk Books and the digital projects coordinator for Witch Please Productions, where she is the video editor and associate producer of Making Worlds. She is a writer, home cook, and storyteller, and she wants to make you laugh. Welcome to the show, Gabby Iori.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show, Gabby. I know you through my daughter, Hannah. I know you to be involved actually in podcasting as well as publishing, which is to me extremely cool, especially since you're a young person and, you know, sort of living the artistic dream in a way. Mad respect for you, that's all.
Thanks, that's so nice.
Well, listen, Gabby, are you ready to tell your story?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to mute myself. At the end, I'll come back and ask a question or two. Specifically, how you think the story that you're about to tell me has impacted who you are today. But take it away, Gabby.
All right. Well, funnily enough, I was thinking about this story on my flight to Chicago when I stayed at your house to meet up with Hannah and the rest of the Witch Please team. So it's very full circle that this is happening. But the story I would like to tell today is about growing up Catholic and the intersection of Catholicism and my OCD diagnosis, and specifically my first confession in second grade. I was raised Catholic by a Catholic mother and a Catholic father. Religion seemed to stick more with the former, but I grew up going to Mass every Saturday, and it was always a real drag, if you know anything about a Catholic Mass. And I also went to catechism classes every Tuesday nights at 7:30. And you can tell that that is a sticking point in my memory because I remember it this many years later. But we had our first confession, which in Catholicism is referred to as the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And it's supposed to be a holy act that essentially purifies the soul after the person doing the confession shares their sins with a priest. And we had our first one in catechism class. And it's important to note that my catechism class wasn't held at a church. It was held at the Catholic school that was attached to the church. So I lined up in a hallway with 12 of my other fellow second graders. And we all individually walked up to an elderly white-haired priest named Donald. And we looked him in the eyes and told him everything that we had done wrong in our minds. And I don't, you know, most people, when they think of Catholic confessions, they think of the actual confessional where it's a little box type thing that you go into and you're sort of hidden from the priest. You don't have to look him directly in the eyes and you share your sins that way. So I was hyper aware of all of my friends in catechism class leaning up against the wall 6 feet away from me. And my voice was so low when telling the father my sins that it's a wonder he was able to hear me at all. But after that, I realized how nice it felt to have a clean slate of a soul, a pure heart and body and mind. And after that, I started to attend confession fairly regularly, because this might be a spoiler for anyone who isn't aware of Catholic Church teachings, but it's kind of the belief that you're morally evil from the start. And I started to, all these thoughts that I was having, thoughts about sex, anger with my parents, the general hormone-fueled bitchiness of being a teenager, they all started to feel morally reprehensible to me. And I started to think, oh, I need to tell someone about this. And so confession became an outlet for me to become spiritually healed and not be the terrible person that I believed myself to be. And little did I know that confession is a pretty early symptom of obsessive compulsive disorder. It's a way to cleanse the mental palate. OCD is a disorder that really preys on what ifs and the cycles of thought. And for me, it always went think bad thing, well, quote unquote, bad thing, think bad thing, confess, be healed, repeat. And it would be cyclical like that for years. And I was thinking about this on my flight to Chicago, because I realized that I still say the Our Father and the Hail Mary before I take off on an airplane, which is something I've done since I was a kid. It was a really early flight, so I was thinking sort of defenselessly. I was like, well, what if I just didn't? And the OCD voice said, well, something terrible will happen. And I really started to sort of put together the connections that if I hadn't necessarily been raised Catholic, I might not have OCD, or I might not experience it in the same way. And it was really interesting for me to reckon with, because it was such a, both things were such huge parts of my life in ways that I hadn't put together. So Jay, I think that's my Catholic story.
Oh my gosh. It resonates with me so much, Gabby. I really appreciate you telling it and sort of articulating the way you said it, which was commit the sin or whatever, confess, feel better, the cycle, you know, and then sin again, repeat, you know, the whole thing. And I remember as a young boy feeling similarly, which is when I'd get out of confession for a minute, I'd go, hey, I'm in good shape, but it wouldn't last very long. So let me ask you, how do you think, and you began to actually already explain it, but how do you think that what happened to you as a second grader, your first confession, very public, by the way, I never had a public confession in my life. That would be very painful to me to have my classmates listening in. But how do you think that second grade first confession has impacted you as an adult?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I had no idea at the time. It was the early 2000s and early 2010s. I had no idea that there was more to obsessive compulsive disorder than obsessive hand washing and meticulous organization, because that's what was presented in media. And that's just what I had grown up seeing. So after leaving the church in my 20s and finally getting a diagnosis, I realized that I wasn't a fundamentally bad person, which, as you can imagine, opened life up for me in a way that I hadn't experienced before. So I feel like that first confession started a really unpleasant arc, a really unpleasant through line for the rest of my life up until I was about 21, where I would feel morally reprehensible because I had thoughts, because I was a person who thought about things. And I would do my confessions, and eventually sometimes those confessions turned into just telling anyone who would listen. I have a vivid memory, not to bring in another memory, but I have a memory of asking my mom when I was a kid if I could do confession with her because we couldn't go to church. And she was like, sure, but it's not going to have the same effect. And I was like, I don't care. I just need to have it done and get that reassurance that I wasn't the bad person that I thought I was. So once I left the church and I stopped believing that I was going to go to hell because I was rude to someone or had an impure thought, that was another big one for me. I felt like the world opened up for me in a way that I had never experienced. I have been a journaler ever since I was in my early teens, and I have journal entries from probably when I was 20 or so and just starting to leave the church and get this diagnosis and start medication and things like that, where I wrote that it felt like someone had opened the curtains in my brain and opened the windows, and I was able to feel fresh air for the first time in my life. And I think people who don't have OCD don't necessarily realize how time consuming it is to have OCD, because I was spending so much time checking my thoughts, checking myself, putting on clothes in the right order so that nothing terrible would happen, things like that. And then spending an equal amount of time telling everyone about it. And everyone would say, well, okay. And it was only a big deal to me. So now with the curtains open, I'm able to push those thoughts away in a way that I've never been able to do before. And I feel like the last 4 or 5 years that I've been medicated and not a practicing Catholic have been some of the most rich and fulfilling of my life.
I love it. I'm so happy for you to peel that away. I think I have a generic understanding of OCD too, of, you know, washing of the hands or whatever, or following a certain ritual every day. And the idea of, unfortunately, the Catholic Church and the cycle of making you feel bad, or that we were all born rotten people and all we can do is keep more or less washing ourselves over and over again, is really what they're suggesting, is a constant washing of the brain or whatever. And it can become obsessive compulsive. And I think I'm so happy you broke out of it. It's leaving me with thoughts of my own ruminations, where I get into continuous cycles of good person. No, I'm a terrible person. Oh, you know, and the fact that I think that I'm a good person makes me a terrible person. And the fact that I'm a terrible person, no, I'm not. That's just my brain telling. And you get into, and as you said, the exhausting quality of the cycle. And those people who suffer from genuinely how hard that must be, because just exhausted all the time, I would think.
Yeah, a lot of the time. It's like a constant wheel turning or always spiraling about something. And I've read so many beautiful books about people living with OCD and more eloquent metaphors than I've come up with. But it really is so interesting that I didn't put these two things together until so recently. I was only in Chicago a couple weekends ago. So you're getting it fresh.
Well, thank you very much. I have to pull back a minute and just say, I started this podcast 4 years ago. I was a high school teacher. I was modeling the students. I required everybody to make a podcast. And they said, well, let me see what you do. And then I said, all right, I'll make this podcast. And the reason I made the podcast in my heart was because I wanted to have young people understand from older people that when you're young, there's a lot of things that happen to you that you can unlearn or undo or just become aware of. And your story resonates with me as a helpful story to other young people and older people too. I don't mean that, but I just want you to know that my audience skews younger. I think there will be somebody out there who will be touched by what you're talking about and go, oh yeah, I guess I don't have to be, I guess, constantly washing my brain of, because it's impossible, because we're all thinking people. And well, I know you know all this. I don't mean to be preaching or talking about it, but I'm trying to say thank you, because my audience, some of my people in my audience, will really resonate, like it's resonating with me. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. I really appreciate that because it's really important to me that if there is someone like me who I could have really used someone saying this back when I was probably not in second grade, but probably when I was 13, 14, 19, I really would have appreciated hearing this from someone, I think. So I really appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about it. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Gabby Iori. Great story. Great ending. I appreciate it. All right. Well, that's our show. Until next time, this is Jay Rehak asking you all to please stay safe out there and try not to hurt anybody.